This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Even if this would be a good day to be bass fishing, still good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. How many of you know that everybody has problems? Only about half of you know? How many of you know that everybody has problems? Poor people, you know, what kind of problems do poor people have? They have poor people problems. That's the kind of problems they have. Poor people have all kinds of poor people problems. You know, we often think that if we just had money, that would fix all of our poor people problems, but it doesn't fix our poor people problems. Money is only one of the problems that poor people have. Most of the people who win the lotto, they didn't have money, and then all of a sudden they get a whole bunch of money, and then just a few short years later, they're living in a van down by the river someplace because they don't have money again because they didn't know how to have money to get when they first got it. You know, so you have poor people problems, and then you have rich people problems. No compassion at all for rich people problems. And he said, poor people problems, like, yes, preach it, Pastor. No, rich people problems, oh, rich people don't have problems. Rich people have to make tough decisions in life just like you do. Rich people have to make decisions like, how much money am I going to put in my 401k this year so that I can retire in absolute luxury and ease? Rich people have to decide what kind of a car they're going to buy, Mercedes, Lexus, or BMW. Rich people have to make decisions on important decisions. Like, if you're rich and you're here this morning, you're probably trying to figure out, what should I get today, porterhouse or T-bone? It's a big conundrum. What kind of steak I should have? Rich people have to deal with all kinds of rich people problems. But everybody has problems. Rich people problems and poor people problems. Now, immediately we side with the poor. And we think it sounds more spiritual. And we think we are poor. But really, most of us fit into the class of the rich people of this world. We have so much. God has given us so much. They say that, now if you don't consider yourself rich, let me tell you how you can get rich. You want to know how to get $1 million? Steve Martin used to say, the way to get $1 million, is the way to become a millionaire is, first, step number one, get $1 million. I love that joke. The way you can get $1 million is you can start saving $500 a month every month this year. And then next year, save $600 a month every month for that year. And then the next year, save $700 and do that for 20 years and you will have $1 million. It's easy. Easy, fresh, and squeezy. That's easy. It's easy to do it. This is a little squeezy. You probably won't be able to eat during that time. But the way to accumulate wealth, they tell us, is to make regular deposits into an account that you're never going to touch. The way that you can become rich is that you take the money that you have and take little bits of it and put it away for yourself and don't touch it. Even when you want to buy that new car, don't touch it. Just keep saving that little money. And by small deposits, well, that's how God made you rich. That's how God made you rich. Think about the first person who came along your way and God made his first deposit into your life. He was the person or the man or the woman who came along and said, you need to know Jesus. They witnessed to you. They told you about Jesus. You thought they were stone crazy. You thought they were worse off than you were because now they're some kind of a Jesus freak and you probably didn't listen to them. I think about the Sunday school teachers who who sowed seed on hard ground. I think about the people who sowed into your life, the people, maybe you even can see their face or their name. Maybe it was a stranger on a train somewhere going downtown. Maybe it was someone who came into your life, and they came and they made God's first deposit into your life by saying, hey, Jesus loves you. God has a plan for you. You don't have to live in the stuff that you're living in. And that person made that first deposit, that first regular deposit. And you were, as soon as they made that deposit into your life, you were on the road to becoming rich. You were on the road because even though you hadn't received the gospel, you had heard the gospel. Even though you had never given God a thought in your life, suddenly somebody said there's a God. Maybe you didn't even know his name. Maybe you called him higher power. But somewhere along the way, you began to have that seed sowed into your life and you began to be a better person because of that. You were a little bit richer because someone spoke the word to you. And then there was that blessed servant of God, whoever he was or she was, that said, listen, as Adam said to us today, it's time to make a commitment. It's time to make a commitment. You've heard about this Jesus. You've heard the gospel. You've heard this person. And God made this second deposit into your life and had somebody take you by the hand and lead you into that prayer. I don't know who that person was for you. I can tell you who it was for me. It was Pastor Walter Peterson in Homewood Full Gospel Church. I can remember him saying, that day, I don't remember what the sermon was on. I don't remember what suit he wore. He always wore a suit. I don't remember what he was doing or where he was going with it. But I remember that day, I said, man, you know, God must be really going to do something in somebody's life here but he ain't going to do anything in my life. And I got up from my chair and I turned around and I walked out the door. And as I was walking out the door to go have a cigarette, I remember the Holy Spirit said to me for the very first time in my life, he said, what are you afraid of? What are you running from? And I wandered around the outside of that church for a while till I found a room someplace, in that little room called a prayer room, ironically enough, and I went in and I gave my life to Jesus. Somebody pulled the trigger. Somebody told you need to make a decision. Someone told you, and that person was a servant of God, whether they were dressed like a servant of God, whether they were wearing Pastor Walter Peterson's suit, or whether they were wearing shorts and a tank top. It doesn't make a difference what they were wearing. That person was a deposit into your spiritual life. And that's put you on that second deposit, put you on the road to being rich because you knew, someone told you, you had to make a decision. You had to do something. You had to move further on in your life as a Christian. You had to go further on and really commit to God, that precious servant of the Lord. Can you just bow your head for a moment right now and give thanks to God for that person? Thank you, God, for the person that led me to Jesus. I thank you for that. Then there was that third deposit. Christian friendships, people who came alongside you, people who were just as nuts about Jesus as you were. And they came alongside, and as they came alongside, they told you, you're not crazy, we love Jesus. People you could vent to, you could say, I don't understand, and they would hear you, and they may not have had the answer. They might have said, we don't understand either. But they were good Christian friends, and they came alongside, and you needed those people, and God made that deposit in your life. He made that second, that third regular deposit into your life and gave you those friends, and they were there, some of them for lifelong, and some of them just for a season, but they were there, and they helped you through that time, and God deposited into your life those people, and they prayed for you, and you shared your life, and they shared their life with you. And you loved God together, and they were your prayer warriors, and they were your comrades in arms, and they were the people who you poured your life into and who they poured their life back into you. And the Christian friendships that you had made you sharper, made you better, made you stronger, made you the person that you are today. They kept building into you, and you became richer because you had Christian friendships in your life. And God made that deposit into your life. And then there were those other people, those mentors. That fourth deposit that God made into your life. Those were people who you knew, maybe you didn't know them so greatly, but you saw them, you watched them, you modeled your life after. They were the people who showed you what the Christian life looks like. They said, when you had questions, they said, just do it like I do it. They said, you can do it like I do. Like Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, they said, just do what I do. Pray like I pray. This is how you pray for that person. This is how you anoint a person with oil. This is how you lay hands on the sick. This is how you do these things. This is how you do that. They showed you how to have a spirit-filled marriage. They showed you how to remain loving in the face of adversity. They showed you how to walk by faith even when all the symptoms and the circumstances seemed like they were flying in the face of what the gospel taught. And they showed you how to trust for the promises of God when they didn't come easily. And they were mentors, and God put those people in your life as well. That deposit into your life. And those mentors became an investment into your life, and some of them you know very well today. And some of you have taken upon yourself to not only be mentored, but to mentor someone else and to show them, you don't know what you're doing here, do it the way I do it. This isn't the only way. This is the way I do it. And so you said you've become a mentor to someone else. God bless you for mentoring someone else. Thank God for the riches that He's poured into you. And then there was good teaching, sound doctrine, ministry that came from the Word of God that was poured into your life, and it shaped you and it formed you. I remember sitting in the pew and listening to my pastor preach and me going, I don't get it, and I don't understand it. And I would put my finger in this little ribbon thing that was in my Bible. I didn't even know what this thing was for, and I would mark that page, and I would go home, and I would read that over and over and over again until I got it, until I heard it, and I understood it, what he was trying to say. I would read the scripture, and then I would listen to the tape of the message. Back in those days, we had tapes. Back in the ancient days, we had tapes, you know. Before that, they had bookworms. Then in my day, we had tapeworms. And so we would listen to the tape over and over again and get blessed over and over again as we heard what it was that God was trying to say to us. Good sound biblical doctrine that was poured into us, and it shaped us, and it made us richer, and it was not extreme, you know. It wasn't something that was where they ran off with some little half truth out of the scripture, but they were balanced. They heard the full counsel of God's word. They weren't afraid. They heard with solidness. They heard without doubts and without having to give way to rationalism or without having to give way to extremism. And they were able to walk in faith, and they taught us how to walk in faith, and they taught us, and they poured that in. And God made that deposit into my life. He made that deposit into your life that gave us good, sound teaching of the Word of God, the unadulterated, pure Word of God that is able to save the soul. That's what they gave to us, and God gave that deposit into our life too. And then they gave us, and God gave us the culmination of all the spiritual experiences in our life. From the simplicity of saying, oh my goodness, God answered my prayer, to those moments of special presence when the Spirit of God would rest so heavy on us that we were not able to move. When we would weep and have to pull our car or truck over on the side of the road and just weep in the presence of God because of the song on the radio. Or we would hear that and God would speak to us. Or God would give us a word. Or God would show us somebody as we're walking and driving down the street. God would invest himself and give us special spiritual experiences. We would stand in the presence of the Lord and God would pour out his Spirit upon us and baptize us in the power of the Spirit and give us spiritual giftings that we could use to reach people around us because God wanted to invest himself in you because God was in the purpose of making us rich through regular deposits of his Spirit into our life. God gave us answers to prayer, the provision of the job that you needed so desperately, the direction that you should walk in, and God gave you spiritual experience after spiritual experience, and God, with those regular deposits, is building you and making you into a rich man. We are rich in a godly heritage. I don't know how long you've been saved, but we are rich in a godly heritage. We are thankful for everyone who has ever poured into our life because we see them not as a brother or a sister. We see them as the hand of God. We see them as the investment of God into our life. That God himself is making these regular deposits into our life because he hasn't given up on you. Because even though you failed, he is a God of restoration, as we sang. And he keeps building you up and making you stronger. And he keeps making you into the person you should be because he has a godly, rich heritage for you. That's what God does for us. God made these deposits in our life. Yes, he used the likes of you and me. Yes, he used brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, he blessed us through other people. But God himself was the investor into our life. We will give account for everything God has invested into our life. You've read the parable before about how he invested some people with 2 talents and some people with 5 talents and some people with 10 talents. But God himself has invested those things. And those investments are there for a purpose. He's given us those to us so that we could invest them in the world. God has made us this people. Some people say, well, you know, I don't really want to be a rich person. Liar. We all want to be physically rich. I would love every morning to trip over a gold bar in my bedroom. Honey, didn't you move that gold bar? I can't move it, dear. It's so heavy. We have so much gold. Oh, yeah. I would love to have that rich person problem. Stubbed toes on rich gold bars. But in the spirit, I long for that richness as well. I want to be fat and sassy in the Holy Spirit. I want to be fully orbed in the Holy Spirit. I want to be the person who is rich in the godly heritage, not just of the things of the past, but of the things that God is regularly investing into my life, the things that God keeps putting into my life, keeps depositing into my spirit. God is in the process of that. And that brings us to our text here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul is writing to Timothy again. I love Timothy. Little skinny, scaredy cat kid that Paul left in charge of the church at Ephesus, this big, troubled church. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And listen, this is our text, verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The scripture comes to us and says, not only did God make deposits, not only are you on your way to spiritual riches, but God says, guard the deposits that I have placed into your life. Guard the deposits of things that I have put into your life. I have invested in those things, and those things are worth guarding. Those things are worth watching over. We take it. We're like rich people. We take it for granted that we'll always have these things, but God wants us to take this into consideration. These things are worthy of being guarded. There are a lot of other things that can mentor you. There are a lot of other truths, small t, that will try to crowd in on the capital T, truth, that's shaped your life. There are a lot of other gospels out there that aren't the true gospel. There are a lot of other things out there that are trying to shape you and make you into the person that they want you to be, not the person that God wants you to be. And so God is saying to us, remember what I have invested in you. Remember what I have invested in you and guard it. Guard it because you need it. Ask any retiree, any person on a limited income, a fixed income. Ask them if they don't need it. Ask them if they don't need the money that they have squirreled away during their retirement or for their retirement. Ask them if they don't need that. The deposits that are placed into your life are those things that you live on during lean times. You say, well, I'm living the life of Riley. I don't ever have any problems these days. Everything is going groovy for me. That's what you're saying to yourself because you're a child of the 70s. And so you're saying, everything is wonderful for me. Far out, man. That's what you're saying. And you're saying, everything is awesome. And so because everything is awesome, you forget about these deposits that God has placed in your life. And you get to the place sometimes where you just see the world as it's happening. You have rich people problems, spiritually rich people problems. You just see the world the way it's happening. And you find yourself more engaged with the political process of our world than you do with the spiritual processes of the world. Because the issues that you have are not... they're not crucial, but let the doctor come in and use the cancer word, or let their finances come in and be short, or let your job end, or let those things, and suddenly you begin to get a spiritual perspective in the lean times, in your retirement time. You know, I'm thinking, as I'm looking out at retirement, you know, I'm looking out at retirement, not anytime soon, don't panic, it's my turn to panic, but as I'm looking out, I had dinner with somebody the other day, and they said, you should be worried about your retirement. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, maybe I should be worried about my retirement. Lord, should I be worried about my retirement? And the Lord said this to me. He said, haven't I always taken care of you? Amen. And the only reason I should really be worried, I'm not saying you don't put money away. I'm not saying you blow all your money on whatever cake and candy. What I'm saying is that you don't have to worry about it because God's in control. God's always been faithful. God's always been true to me. God's always been there, and I've always had enough. But actually, sometimes I have more than enough. But God has always given me enough, and so I don't have to worry about that. That's bad advice. There's somebody out there trying to shape my life. But it's in the lean times when I'm going to have to live on the spiritual deposits that are in my life.
Right.
When the dark times come, when the promise isn't easily fulfilled, in those moments I'm going to have to go back and say, what would my mentor do? What did I learn in the Word of God? How did I see the spiritual gifts manifested? How did I watch someone else believe God for a promise of healing? How did I see that happen? I'm going to have that. I'm going to have to know that those promises, those deposits that you're supposed to be guarding are supposed to be guarded for the lean times. Those are times when you've got to have life on the inside. You guard it because it's you're dependent upon that in the lean times. There are people who are in churches every Sunday. I'm afraid of this, but there are people who are in churches every Sunday who, when you know the stuff hits the fan, suddenly they forget all about their Christianity. They go back to their old life. You say, well, I mean, it's even biblical. Peter, as soon as you know he lost faith in Jesus, and he went out and went back to fishing. He went out back fishing. And you see, Christians, we have to guard these deposits that are put into our life so that we know what they're used for. We have to guard them because they're life. They're for living. The deposit that God has put into you is not only for the lean time, but it is for life. It is the thing that works life in your life. When things get dark and prayers aren't easily answered and the devil comes at you in spiritual warfare and all kinds of things come against you, you are on your own with the things that are deposited in your spirit. When the prayer line doesn't answer, when the pastor's on vacation, when everything is going wrong in your life and your brothers and sisters, even your prayer partners won't even answer the phone, you're on your own. You have to do it on your own. You have to muscle up the courage and the faith and go before God and say, God, here I stand. I remember what you taught me in your word. You said, if I believe in my heart, that whatever I ask, you will give it to me. That's what God said in his word. And you have to take it upon yourself. You can't lean upon the laurels and the strength of other people, but rather you have to take it upon your own self. And you have to say, I will be the man of, or the woman of God that you have called me to be. You have to guard it because out there are thieves. You have to guard it because you are vulnerable to the enemy. The reason Paul says this to Timothy is because he recognizes that Christians are vulnerable to the enemy. Most important words I'm going to say today. Christians are vulnerable to the enemy. If you're going to put something on Facebook, you can put that one on Facebook. Christians are vulnerable to the enemy. Christians are vulnerable to the enemy, so guard the deposit that's on the inside because there is an enemy out there, according to John 10, who wants to rob, kill, and destroy you. See, you thought you were going unnoticed. You thought you were somehow skating underneath the devil's radar, but he wants to destroy you, and he wants to do that by coming in and picking your pocket, taking away from you. I remember when my son Matthew would skate in, and he was a defenseman in hockey, so he would get the puck, would sometimes come back to him, and he would skate in, and he would get soaked, he would just get in between the circles, and then some super skilled dude from another team would just pull a puck away from him. He was so frustrated. He would like be cranking up like this. All of a sudden, the puck was nowhere to be found anymore. His pocket had been clean picked. Ask him if that's frustrating. That's really frustrating. He's ready to score a goal, or at least hit the post. He's ready to score a goal. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to give you that one. You too, Brutus, he said. No. But he was ready to go in there and take the shot, but it was picked away, taken away. There's a lot of Christians like that, skating in, deking around, all the opposition. Coming in, the devil just goes, pulls it right out of the way. Oh, man. What happened there? I'll tell you what happened there. Nothing. Because you didn't guard the deposit good enough.
Amen.
You didn't guard the deposit good enough. The devil came and took it away. He grabbed a hold of the thing that you were leaning upon. He took it away. Satan, it says, comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have to recognize that there is a lion out there seeking whom he may devour. Licking his chops as he's wandering around, and we sometimes think, Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer now. He can't get me. Well, he can't get your soul, but he can make your life a living hell. So guard the deposit that's put into your life. Guard the deposit that's in your life. We know that Satan comes for the word's sake. Whenever the word is being deposited in your life, according to Mark chapter 4, whenever the word is deposited in your life, the devil is right there ready to pick it out as soon as you stop paying attention to it. He comes in. You remember the parable of the birds that came in and snatched up the seed? That seed could have bore fruit there because the ground was fairly decent there, but no, it couldn't happen there because Satan came and snatched the word out of your heart. There's some people who will hear the word today and go, man, that's awesome. And they'll stand up and walk out there and you'll have spiritual Alzheimer's. You'll walk out of here and you won't remember what the sermon was about, what happened in church. You won't remember what songs we sang. You won't know what happened to that hour and a half you just spent in church. You won't have any idea of it because the devil has snatched it away from you. That's why I think it's really good for Christians to take notes, to write in the margin of their Bible. I think it's good to write in the margin of your Bible so when you die, then your kids can pick up your Bible and they can weep over the passages that changed your life. You need to guard it because there are thieves out there. You need to guard it because you need it in lean times. You need to guard it because it is the one true, eternal thing that you can pass down to the next generation. I don't have much to leave to my family, but this is one thing I can leave to them. The richness of the godly heritage that we can give to them. The richness of God working in us. It is not some frivol thing that we can just let happen. No, we don't just leave it to happenstance. There is nothing that happens in this life that somebody hasn't prayed about. And there's not going to be anything that happens to my family that I haven't prayed about. I'm going to be praying and interceding. I'm not hoping somebody somewhere gets the gift of tongues off in Botswana and is praying for my family. I'm not leaving it to those people over there. I don't know what they're praying for, but I can guarantee, I'll tell you today, I know who I'm praying for. Guard the deposit because the enemy wants to steal that thing from you. Guard the deposit because it is the baton that we get to pass to the next generation. Guard the deposit because it is life that works in us. Guard the deposit because you need it during the lean times. So how do you guard the deposit? How do you do it? Well, Paul gives us a hint here, verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. My money, I guess I could put it in a safe somewhere. My stock options, I could put those in a lockbox someplace. And it would have to be a very small lockbox. Things of value I could stash away or wrap in plastic. The front page of the Tribune when the Hawks won the Stanley Cup is in the shrine in my office. Kids will have to fight over that when I croak. Although, the Hawks did win too. So one more and I'll have one for each of my kids. But whatever I have of value doesn't need to be guarded with the Holy Spirit except the things that are of the Spirit. How do I guard those things? I guard them by keeping my guard up. Self-discipline comes by the Holy Spirit. We've been hitting this theme over and over and over again the last few weeks. Have you noticed it? That this self-discipline is a gift of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. It is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, rather, working on the inside of us. It is something the Holy Spirit works on. Stay disciplined. Stay in the groove. Don't let your guard drop, you know. We love the movie Rocky, don't we? Because never has there been a more ill-prepared fighter to go into the ring and get his face pummeled. And still, he looks pretty good at the end of the movie. Catching left hooks and right hooks with his face, with no guard, never puts his guard up except when there's no punch being swung. Some Christians are like that. We don't ever put our guard up. We just think Jesus has it all. But you're forgetting that Paul said, guard the deposit. Get your guard up. Come in with your guard up. No, the enemy's coming after you. Keep your guard up. You have to have the self-discipline by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I can't because I'm tired. I know. That's why it's disciplined by the Holy Spirit. The spiritual discipline. You say, oh, I'm tired, I don't want to. I know you don't want to. Your flesh doesn't want to. You can rebuke your flesh, by the way, all day long, and it still stays with you. You say, well, I just don't have enough faith. No, no, I don't care how much faith you have. Even Jesus didn't rebuke his flesh. Your flesh is what you have with you. So you have to learn. So how do I overcome the flesh that's with me? Come on. Everybody wants to eat 16 Oreo cookies. Everybody does it, you know. Everybody wants to. Everybody wants to eat the whole sleeve of Fig Newtons. Everybody wants to. Everybody wants to eat 16 quarter pounders with cheese. Everybody wants to. But okay, maybe not 16. But you want to eat a lot. Wasn't it William the Refrigerator Perry that used to eat 12 Big Macs? For lunch, 12 Big Macs. Got to admire a guy like that, don't you? I mean, just like, go for the gusto, brother. You're only going to be in the NFL for so long. You might as well eat as many of those as you can. Just imagine. I mean, we all want to do it, and the flesh is saying, go ahead, help yourself, get it. Right? And you say, I don't want to fight my flesh. I like my flesh. I don't want to discipline myself, but there's something. See, you will not get over on the things that are tempting you until you learn to hate them. Pastor, are you preaching hate this morning? Darn tootin'. I'm preaching that you have to hate the sins. You have to hate what they do to you. You have to hate the way they make you feel when you walk into the presence of God. You have to hate that alienation that you feel. And you say, well, I just can't. I'm just not self-disciplined. That's not who I am. I understand that. But that self-discipline comes from the Holy Spirit. When you hate it enough, and then you'll cry out to God enough, and you say, God, help me to only eat 2 Oreos. And eventually, it don't come easy, in the words of Ringo Starr. You know it don't come easy. It don't come easy because you have to learn to lean upon. Eventually, you'll learn to lean upon that good discipline of the Holy Spirit. And he'll say, really? You want to eat that 3rd Oreo? And you'll go, I was just kidding, Lord. You know how I hate them when they're all dunked in milk. Another way to guard the deposit is not just to be self-disciplined, but to be thankful for what you have in the Holy Spirit. Count your blessings. Mind your investments. Look at what you got. If I had $1 million, I would pull it out of the bank and roll around in it all the time. I would. Come on, if you were banking with lots of dough, wouldn't you just throw it up? Come on, at least once in the privacy of your own bedroom, throw it up in the air and just let it feel what it feels like. Let it rain. Make it rain all over you. Wouldn't you just do that? Wouldn't you just do that? I'd do it more than once. I'd do it for a whole evening. I'd just say, make it rain evening. Come on, kids, help me pick it up. Let's throw it up in the air again. Run around in it. Come on, honey, let's roll around in it. I would do. Wouldn't you do that? I would do it. I would do it for sure. We should do the same thing. We should do the same thing with our spiritual blessings. The deposits that God has put on the inside of us. Put the same thing, those things that God has deposited on the inside of us, I should pull those things out and say, look at the joy I have when everybody else around me is freaking out and worried. But I've learned this joy because I watch people go through worse stuff than I'm going through. And I watch them smile and love Jesus and care about souls and care about things of the Spirit when they were going through greater things than this. And let me throw it up in the air and roll around in it. Let me rejoice in these things that God has deposited in my life. Be thankful for what God has put into your life. I don't just mean be thankful like, oh, I'm thankful. No, I mean like pull it out and look at it. Count your spiritual blessing. Take it out and go, look, and he's given me this and this person. And I remember when that person, act like an old person for a little while and reflect on your life. Why was that person there when you needed them? Why did you meet that person out of all the people in the world that you could have met? Why did you meet that person? What was it that they were putting into your life that was making you rich? Shouldn't you rejoice in that? Another way we can guard the deposit is by keeping the deposit pure. See, I could give you 10 gallons of pure filtered water, but if somebody just added 1 cup of dirty water, it would make all the rest of that water impure. Sometimes we have all this purity that God has poured into us, and we allow the filth of the world in one area or another area of our life to come in and taint the deposit that God has put into our life. And we aren't as rich then, because what we have is of great value. We have to guard it and keep it pure. We have to recognize the deposit that God has put into our life and recognize it for what it is. And you didn't get here by yourself, by the way. You didn't get to this place by yourself. If you're thinking, well, I'm a self-made man, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. We saw what you could do with yourself when you were by yourself. When you lived for yourself and you served yourself. It wasn't until you died to yourself and you lived for God that suddenly you became something that God could use to help other people. When you got yourself out of the way and got yourself in the presence of God and you began to serve God and not yourself. Whew, I feel like preaching today. If we will learn how to keep the deposit pure on the inside, if we will learn how to keep the deposit pure by making sure, wait a minute, I hear what you're saying, but we put it through the filter. Is that going to go through the filter? Is that really line up with the Word of God? What you're telling me, is that line up with the Word of God? What you're telling me on how to find a mate, or how to buy a car, or how to invest my money, or how to get rich quick, or whatever it is that you're trying to tell me, is that really line up with the Word of God? Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I reject it in Jesus' name. You may say, but Pastor, everybody's doing it. Everybody does it this way. This is the way everyone else does it. You know what? That's wrong. See, I've learned by spiritual discernment. I've watched this. I've seen a lot of car crashes. I've seen a lot of spiritual car wrecks. People who've been driving on their own self along in their spiritual life and then veered off the road doing their own thing. The Greeks have a word for a person who does their own thing. Idiotes. Yep, that's the word. You say, does it even remotely remind, is that where we get our word idiot from? Yes. It's a person who does their own thing. You are an idiot if you do it your way. And you are no fool if you do it God's way. See, God will honor what He's done in our life. He will honor the deposit, but we have to keep it pure. We can't let it become adulterated. We can guard the deposit by living by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can guard that deposit by living by the power of the Holy Spirit because we know it's the Spirit in us. See, the power of the Holy Spirit in our life is there to impact us, not just for us. American Christianity is 5 ways for you to get it for yourself. 3 ways for you to get over for yourself. What I'm saying to you today is biblical Christianity. Live out and guard the deposit by the Holy Spirit. As you're living by the Holy Spirit, see, the more you live by the Holy Spirit, expecting the power of the Holy Spirit, inspecting the Holy Spirit's work on the inside of your life, evaluating your own self. Somebody said, Pastor, I like it when you're introspective. I hate when I'm introspective because whenever I look at myself, I always see the sinfulness on the inside of me. But you see, as bad as that is, it's not as bad as people who ignore the sinfulness on the inside of their own life. You see, at least I know what I'm made of. And I can take that before the Lord actively in prayer and say, God, help me to die to this thing. Help me to die to that thing. Help me to die to this other thing. And Lord, if you don't mind, can we just replay last week's list because nothing has changed. God says, if you will walk in this power of the Spirit, you'll overcome the flesh. If you will walk in the power of the Spirit, you will overcome the flesh. That's not Pastor Dave that says that. That's not the Assemblies of God that says that. That's not Charisma Magazine that says that. That's God that says that. God says to His church, if you will walk in the power of the Spirit, you'll overcome the flesh. You'll overcome it. You will win. Guard the deposit that He put on the inside of you. Don't live your life by accident. Christians, be proactive. Determine what you're going to do with your life. Hear God and begin to fight for the promise that He puts in your life. You say, well, if God wants it to happen, it will happen. No, that's not true. God isn't that kind of sovereign. God doesn't get His way every time. Let me tell you why. I could tell this is a theological sticking point here. So let me unstick you in Jesus' name. If God always gets His way, then God wants people to go to hell because people will go to hell because Jesus said that narrow is the way and few there be that find it. So if you say that God always gets His way, what you're telling me is the God that you serve designed people to go to hell. You see, that's not true. God, the Scripture clearly says, is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. Well, then why do people like Hymenaeus and Alexander get shipwrecked in their faith, according to the Scripture? Why? Let me tell you here. Idiotes. They did it their own way. Go look it up. You'll see it. Every time someone chooses not to do it God's way, but does it their own way, because I know better, because I'm a modern person, because that's an ancient book, and I don't need the wisdom from that ancient book to inform my life, because after all, what would the creator of me know about me? Idiotes! God wants us to guard the deposit that he puts on the inside of our life. Because what you have is of value not just to you, not even just to you and your children and your children's children. God has that deposit in you to be used to help others as well. You see, we don't like to think about that. Heard a testimony this morning of somebody who was going to go get some money from the bank, and somebody was outside asking for money, and they were walking past that person, and as they were walking past that person, the Lord spoke to them, you got to give that money to that person. You got to give money to that person. You got to bless that person. You got to help that person out. You see, often when we go in to count our money and our spiritual deposits, we go, oh, look at all that I have. Aren't I spiritually marvelous? But God says, I want you to use some of that now. Spend it. Well, if I spend it, then what will I have to do, God? You'll have to get more. Oh, that's the beauty of the Christian life. You can't outspend God. You can't outspend God. If you give spiritual blessings to others that are around you, I'm not talking about giving away all your money. I'm talking about giving away what God has taught you, the spiritual truth that he's invested in you, the things that he's put on the inside. If you give that out and give that out and give that out, God will find a way to replenish that into you. Even if he has to take you to a mountaintop like he did Jesus many times and just meet you there and download a bunch of spiritual blessing into your life. See, Paul could say in another place, see, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. This is the same guy who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the same guy. This is the same guy. He knew this thing. He knew this thing. But he said, guard the deposit, but don't hoard it for yourself. Guard it so that you can give it away as God calls you to give it away. Christians, stop living for yourself. Stop living for yourself. You see, if the only reason that we want 5 steps to a good spirit-filled marriage or 3 steps to overcoming temptation is so that we don't have to feel bad and guilty about it, then we've missed the point altogether. God wants to make you a sharpened tool in his toolbox that he can use for other people. This morning, we have to pray because God wants to do something powerful on the inside of our lives today. God wants to do something marvelous on the inside of us. This is not just a reflect on what God's given you sermon. This is a tool up, man up, get ready to go out there and sharpen yourself for what God has ahead of us sermon. Let's bow for prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you recognizing we are indeed rich. We have a godly heritage, a rich godly heritage that you have given to us deposit by deposit by deposit by deposit. You have placed it on the inside of our life. And now today we come recognizing, Lord, that though we are yet in process, you are working in us in such a way, Lord. And we've received it as unto ourselves, but Lord, would you use us? Would you give us direction? Would you show us how to use the deposits that you've placed in our life in a way that they will bless others, that the way that they will help others, Lord? May we be a mentor to someone else. May we be the one that brings the gospel to someone for the very first time. May we be the one that says, hey, come to a place of commitment and give your life to Jesus. May we be the Christian friends that help someone and pray together with someone and fellowship together in small groups all through our body. May we be the people that you've called us to be, Lord. Would you empower us to be this kind of people, Lord? May we live not just for ourselves, but for others. And in so doing, we know that you will replicate yourself in us over and over and again. And you will replenish us. And you will reproduce yourself in us. And you will bless us, Lord God. And the joy of being blessed, Lord God, will be only surpassed by the joy of giving away what you've given us to be blessed with, Lord God. For you said in your word, it is more blessed to give than to receive, Lord God. Help us to take the next step. We are blessed because we have received, Lord. But help us to step into the next level, Lord God, and give away what you have given to us, Lord God, so that we can give to those who are in need, Lord God, that we may experience the greater blessing, Lord, of giving away, Lord. Help us, Jesus. Help us, because the church in the United States of America has become me-oriented, has become self-oriented. Help us, Lord, because we need more than what we have now, and we need greater works on the inside of us, Lord God. We need the power of your Holy Spirit working on the inside of us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. In this place, as we stand in your presence right now, Lord, just stand up. Just stand up in the presence of the Lord. As we stand in your presence, Lord, just let your Holy Spirit flow over us. Lord God, I pray it in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that we would not rush out of this place, Lord, but that we would hear the voice of your Spirit. May we, number one, acknowledge that we are rich in the Spirit. Rich in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We are rich in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We may not have a lot in our bank account. We may not have a lot in our pocket, but we are rich in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We have been given spiritual blessings. We have been given all these things. Lord, number two, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, Lord God. These hands, Lord, may healing flow through these hands, Lord God. These eyes, may we see with the compassion of Jesus Christ. These ears, Lord, may we pay attention to the people that we work with, Lord God, outside of the church and inside the church. May we hear what they're really saying, Lord. May we hear what's being screamed loudly in the silences, Lord God. May we hear it with our spirit as well as our ear, Lord God. Would you direct our feet? Would you make our paths straight and plain, Lord God? Would you give us a vision in our mind, Lord God? Would you give us the stomach, Lord, to be able to go out into the world, Lord God, and see the need and step up and meet the need, however meager our offering may be, Lord God? Jesus, we come to you with this expectation, Lord, that the deposit that you have placed in us, Lord, is to be pure, holy, life-giving, and used. Jesus. Jesus. Will you hold your hands up like this before the Lord? This is symbolic of all that He has given to you. Would you hold it up as an act of surrender? This is what you've given me, Lord, all these good things, Lord. You've spoken to me through adults and grandparents and children, Lord God, through your word and through sermons and through tape ministries, Lord God, and radio and TV preachers, Lord. You've spoken to me through so many people. You've sharpened this dull stick, Lord God. You've made me a little bit richer, Lord God, than I ever was in my life, Lord. And I surrender it back to you, Lord. I give it back to you as an act of praise, oh God. What you've made me, what you've created in me, Lord, I give back to you, Lord. Receive it back to you, Lord. Now use it, Lord. Use it, Lord. I pray for your church, Lord God, over the things that you have put in, the deposits you have put in their life, Lord God. I pray that the enemy would not be able to steal those things that you have deposited in their hearts. May those things grow roots in their spirit, Lord God. May they not let go of those things, I pray in Jesus' name. May spiritual truths haunt them in their life, Lord God. May they just find wisdom flowing out of their souls as they minister to their loved ones, their friends, their family members, their co-workers, Lord God. May wisdom flow through them, Father God. Flow through them, Lord God. Empower them to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Not pew sinners, Lord God. Not pew warmers, Lord God. But ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go into the world, Lord God, to bring the truth and the light in a loving, compassionate way, Father God. Stir us. Stir us, stir us. Let us not be complacent, Lord God. Let there not be a complacent one in a bunch, Lord God. May there be something stirred on the inside of us. May we make the commitment to make the next step, whatever it is, Lord, to share the gospel for the first time, Lord, to hear the answer, the call of the Spirit's voice that we hear in our mind, Lord God, to step into what you've called us to step into, Lord God, to step into those things that you've called us to go have that spiritual experience, to get away and seek your face, Lord God. Oh, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us today, Lord. Help us, Lord God. We need you, Lord God. We need you. Lord, there are a million things that come between us and you, Lord. A million things, one day from another, Lord God. Some days we feel closer than others, Lord God. This morning, if there's something between you and God, no one's going to ask you what it is, but if there's something between you and God that hinders you from being able to come and just worship and give yourself an abandonment to Him and just be used of Him when you leave this place, would you just step out from where you are and come on to the altar and let us pray over you? We're going to pray that that hindering spirit, whatever it is, will now no longer be on you, but that hindering presence will no longer be there, but that you'll be free to be able to do the things that God has called you to do. Something that's hindering you, harassing you, limiting you, keeping you from being able to be the person that God has called you. Come on, step out from where you are. Don't be scaredy cat. You can just come on up and get the presence. You're not looking for help from me. I don't have any help to give you except Jesus. Just Jesus, that's all. Just Jesus. Just the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Just Jesus. Just the sovereign one. Just the one who is to be preeminent in everything. Just Jesus. That's all I have to give to you today. Just Jesus. That's all I have to give to you today. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus, the name above every other name. The name at which every knee must bow. Every knee must bow at the name of that Jesus. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. We come before you, Lord God. We acknowledge, Lord, one thing or the other that hinders us, Lord God. You know what's in the hearts of these, your people gathered here. These bold enough to come forward. I pray, Father, that you would meet them in this place right now today, Father, and you would help them to lay aside every weight that does so easily beset them, Lord, everything that tries to hinder them, everything that keeps them from you, Lord God, everything that tries to limit them, everything that keeps them away, Father. Clear the air between you and them, Father God. I pray it in Jesus' name. I pray for restoration. I pray for empowerment. I pray for a new spirit of thanksgiving for all the good things that you've given them. I pray for a renewal of energy and strength. I pray for a renewal of energy and strength, Lord, that they can be thankful for all that you've given them, Father God. I pray that in your precious and holy name, Lord God. I know, Lord, you said it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So, Father, we ask that the Spirit of the living God would come and infill and infuse yourself inside each of these here, Father. Give them what they seek you for, Father, today, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Meet them here, Father God, and remove every stone of offense, everything out of the way between you and them, Father God. Let them be closer than ever before, Lord God, when they leave this place today. That Jesus would be here. That Jesus would be here. That Jesus would be right here. Right here. One heartbeat away from us. Jesus would be right here with us this morning. Hallelujah. 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 We are thankful, God. We are thankful, God, for how faithful you are. Maybe you're here this morning and you're hurting in your body. You have some physical brokenness in your body and you'd like prayer for that. We always, every service, we anoint with the sick and we pray over those that are in need and their physical body. We'll anoint you with oil as the scripture gives us a command to do, to anoint the sick and pray the prayer of faith over them. If that's you this very morning, then come on forward. Let us know. Maybe come on forward from where you are. You have your broken in your body. You need prayer this morning. Come on forward from where you are. Is there anybody here who wants prayer for physical healing? Anyone here want prayer for physical healing? There's someone over here. Beverly Pete, someone over here. Anyone else? Yeah, Sherry.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org.